merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer help when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our way. Hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
In Psalms it says, praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I will praise him.
Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. Hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. Hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger
for. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I guess they're going to stay up here making sure y'all ready for me. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. I love that song they just sang. I've got that song on a CD, and I have driven all the way home from work from Noonan and put that thing on replay over and over and over. You know, about the 10th time, I'm in the worship mode. Because that is a worship song. And you know, we were created to worship a living God. Amen. I mean, that's what we're created for. And a lot of times what people, where they miss their purpose in life, they never find contentment or fulfillment in life, is they never find that place. They never find a place that they can worship God completely and in spirit and in truth and let it be the number one thing in their life. That's why they go and they try everything in the world that they can to satisfy themselves. And they're never satisfied. You know, how many people do you know that are absolutely content? When you ask them, well, what does it take to satisfy you? You know the answer? A little more. It's always a little more. It's always something else. It's because they hadn't found a place of worship. I appreciate that song. I appreciate the service this morning. I appreciate the Lord. Okay? Just a couple of things I'll announce before I get into the message. But, you know, this church has a Celebrate Recovery ministry. We meet on Monday night here. And at about 6 o'clock, everybody gets fed. And about 10 minutes to 7, we come in here and we'll have a short message. And we'll have some singing and some worship. And then we'll split into classes. And if you have any, and they use these words, hurts, habits, or hang-ups. Some people like that, some people don't. Well, let me tell you what that means. If you got anything in your life that you're struggling with, and you're having a hard time with it, you can get help at Celebrate Recovery. Now, I don't care if it's drugs or it's alcohol, if it's loss, if it's trouble, if it's something in your past that is heavy on you, it's the place to come. And we want to invite you, and that invite you to invite anybody that you know that needs help. And Brother Tom Payne has been working very hard in that ministry, and we appreciate him and the work he does here in the church. And Sister Tabitha has been helping him, and we've been getting a schedule put together. Now, Lord willing, I'm going to be here tomorrow night. And we've got some others lined up to come and speak as well, I'm looking forward to. And also tonight here at the church, we're going to have an ordination service. And we're going to ordain Brother Hart as a deacon tonight. So we'd like to invite you to come. We'd like for you to come and support that and be in support of the church. And I have to mention this too. I look over here at these young people, and I see this group growing, and you know, I really appreciate them. Amen? Yeah. We appreciate our young people at the church. Now, we appreciate you. We appreciate everybody being here. If you got your Bible this morning, we're going to read in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. This is what I understand. This is Paul's last letter that he wrote. It's his last epistle. And the message that we're going to try to bring this morning is entitled Preparation for Departure. If you'd like to stand with us, we're going to read in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And I'm just going to read verse number 6. Through verse number 8, and then we'll try to bring the message that God has laid on our heart this morning. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul is writing and he's sending the charge to Timothy. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Let us pray together. Lord, we're thankful to be in your house this morning. Dear Father, we need you to move, Lord, this morning. We pray that you'd move your Holy Spirit. Help us to get out of the way. Lord, help us to get out of the flesh and into the Spirit and send exactly that that's needful this morning for this hour. You know the hearts and the minds of the people that are here, and God, you know what we need, each one of us. God, I pray that you'd touch my lips, touch my mind. Help us, God, this morning that we'd be led by the Spirit. Speak exactly those things, Lord, that you'd have us to, and that the Word would find a lodging place in somebody's heart, that they'd recognize their need to be ready for departure. God, we'll give you the praise and the honor and glory. And we know, Lord, if anything good happens here, it's because of you. It's not because of us. Lord, we know that, Lord, even if we believe not, you still remain faithful because you cannot deny yourself. And Lord, I believe a lot of times you don't do things because of us, Lord, but you do them in spite of us. And God, we pray this morning you'd be glorified, you'd be honored, and Lord, your name would be lifted up, that everybody would see Jesus. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want you to think about travel for just a minute. I occasionally have to travel, and I was talking to Brother Perry and some of the other men about this. And I'm going to have to travel coming up. I'm going to have to go to Texas in a few weeks, and I'm probably going to have to go to California, and I've got a trip coming up to Rhode Island. And I'm going to tell you, I don't like it. I don't like traveling. But, you know, they tell me, they send me an email, you're going to have to travel, and I'll begin the process of looking for the ticket. You know, I'll ask the lady there at work, I said, let me see what my options are, and I'll try to pick the perfect flight. I mean, I'll stretch my days to 18 hours if I have to keep from spending the night away from home in a motel. because it's three nights before I sleep. And I've learned not to drink coffee and Coke and eat red meat at the same time. Okay? But the first thing I've got to do, I've got to find the ticket. I get the ticket bought and you spend the money on the ticket. And, you know, then I've got to pack. I don't have time to do that either. Sometimes I'll go home like on Sunday night after church and I'll have to get the suitcase out and I'll start throwing all the stuff in it. And, you know, nowadays when you travel, you got this little baggie they give you. And you got to have everything fit inside the baggie. Now, I know, ladies, y'all don't do this. Y'all check all of y'all's bags. But I try to get everything in the baggie so that I can throw it in the container. And once I get everything packed, you know, I got to get up early, and I'm one of those kind. I'm going to get at the airport 2 hours before my flight leaves. I'm not going to miss a flight. I came close one time, so I'm there early, and I'm sitting there, and I'm miserable, and I'm thinking about all the other places I want to be. And then they start letting people board. You know what I'm doing? What zone am I in? I want my bag up there. I don't want to check my bag. I mean, you know. But you go through all these things, and then if you're not careful, you hear that last call. Last call. And they're shutting the door. And my boss, that he retired this past year, but I travel with him sometimes, and he had it down to a science. He would walk up to the airport. He wouldn't even slow down. He'd drop his bag, hand him a tip, and keep walking. And I'm trying to keep up with him. And then he would go in, and this is the way it would be. They would be shutting the door, and he would walk in. I mean, he did it every week, and that tore my nerves up. I wouldn't do it that way. One time we were out in, I don't know, Arizona or somewhere, and we had an 11 o'clock flight. I was up and ready, sitting in the lobby at 7 o'clock with all my stuff. He came down in his pajamas to get a cup of coffee and laughed at me and went back upstairs. But I was ready. You know, my favorite part of every trip is when I'm on that plane and it takes off and I'm flying home. That's my favorite part of every trip. You know, sometimes when I'm traveling, and we have a sales guy that I travel with sometimes, he said, I've learned when I'm out of town, and I'm talking to my wife, and she says, well, what are you having for dinner? He said, it's awful. You don't even want to know. You don't even want to know. He said, I learned because I told her one time the truth, and she was at home cooking SpaghettiOs, and she hung up on me. But I want to tell you something. I don't care where I go. I don't care how good the meal is. I don't care what the scenery is like. Folks, I want to get home. Okay? Now, when I look at this scripture, I want you to look at something this morning. This is Paul writing his last letter to Timothy. And he's writing this letter here, and he's giving him a charge. And the truth is, and I want you to understand it, there's going to come a point in our life, unless we're raptured out in the rapture, we're going to die. And as I look at this scripture, what he's writing, I want us to go through it and see it and understand it. And I think we need to be prepared for departure. Doesn't mean you got to depart today. Let me tell you something. I've been going down the road in the past few days. I love the fall of the year. I mean, when I got up this morning and that 37 degree weather hit me in the face, and I just said, praise the Lord. I know some of you are freezing, but I said, praise God. I went out and I saw those trees turning orange. I was standing at work the other day, and I looked out across there, and I told one of them, I said, if I was a dinosaur, I'd eat that tree. I just love this time of the year. And folks, you have to admit it. God's got a lot of things that he can bless us with here. And when I looked this morning, and the sun was shining so bright, and it was crisp, and it was shining on the trees, and I felt that cold air, I was enjoying it. But I want you to understand something. If God creates this here for us to enjoy now, you ever thought about maybe what he's got over there? Because this earth is cursed, okay? It's cursed of what God's got over there for us. There's no sin. There's no tarnishment. There's nothing dirty. There's nothing there that's going to keep it from being perfect. So we can enjoy it here, but we need to understand that it's not forever. And I want to give you some of what some of the saints have said. And some of, you can call them saints, but I want to tell you this. If you're saved, you're a saint. You're a saint. David said in 1 Kings 2:1, says, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. He said, I go the way of all the earth. Listen to what Joshua said in Joshua 23:14. He says, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. It's the way of all the earth. That we're not going to live forever, but we're here for a period of time. Here's what Job said in Job 14:1-2. He said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. It's a very short period of time. You know, we were at a little get-together Halloween night at some friend's house, and we got there, and it was a friend of mine that I grew up with, and, you know, grew up with him in church. I was the best man at his wedding, but he's gone. He's gone to Illinois on a hunting trip. So I got to be there with all of his family, and I saw his son come walking up. And I looked at that boy. He's 22 years old, and I thought, he looks just like his dad. That's what I thought. I said, he's just about that much taller, but he's just like his daddy. And I began to think in my mind about when we were 22 years old, about what we were doing, about we were starting our lives and we were both getting married and we were looking at what life had in front of us. And I thought about how much time has passed by from then till now. And you know what I thought? 24 years from now, I may not be here. My children will be grown. And I may be gone. And a lot of you may be gone. You know what? We'll be gone the way of all the earth. Remember when David's child died? And he wept and he prayed. And when he found out that the child had died, they were afraid to tell him. But he got up and he washed his face. And he said, I cannot bring him back, but I can go and be with him. Because he knew that this life is not forever. Paul said in Hebrews 9:27, it says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now you can read in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's in chapter number 2, it says where Paul said, I was caught up to the third heaven. And he said, I saw paradise, and I saw things that were not even lawful for me to utter it. God allowed him to see some things, okay? You can study the scripture and you can see that he was stoned at Lystra and he was carried outside the city as dead and they threw him down outside the gates. It was during that time that I believe that God allowed him to see great things about what heaven was like. Therefore, when he wrote the epistles and the letters, he wrote them with great confidence because he knew what God had in store for him. That's why he said he desired not to be unclothed, but to be clothed upon, because he had a longing and a desire to be perfect and to be in heaven with God. And then he wrote, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, that means, and I want to tell you what I believe as a Christian. When you close your eyes in death, immediately you're in the presence of God. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, when we look at this and we see what Paul is writing, you know, I want to tell you something as a Christian. And I know there's, like I heard my daddy say one time, and my dad was a preacher, he was a man of God. He said, I'm not afraid to die. He said, I just don't know what I'm going to have to go through before that time comes. And you know, that's what we don't like, because we're in a body that's cursed. Amen. But when Paul writes these scriptures, listen to what he's saying. I want to go through this and I want to break it down and I want to consider Paul's words. If you look at the sixth verse, he says, I am now ready to be offered. He says, I'm ready. It's like this. He said, I have my ticket, I'm right with God, and I am ready to go. Have you ever heard the preachers preach this? I'm prayed up, I'm packed up, and I'm ready to go. You know, as a Christian, we need to be ready to go and meet the Lord. We have a prayer list that we go over on Wednesday night, and it's amazing to me as we go down the list that we've got, it seems like, just as many children that are battling cancer as we do older people. I lost a very good friend, a friend of this family that I was with Halloween night. She was 22 years old and she died of cancer. She had twins that were just a few months old when she passed away. But you know what she told them? She said, I'm ready to go. I want to tell you something, folks. I want to do some things here. But the Lord may call me, and I need to be ready now. He says, I'm ready to go, and here's the point. You need to be ready to face God in eternity because you never know how much time you're going to have. You know, people think they're in control. I want to tell you something. When the Lord calls your name, there's absolutely nothing you can do that causes you to be able to stay here. Nothing. You know, people go through life and they think they're in control. They think they've got everything that they want. They think they have everything accomplished. But it's just like the scripture where the Lord said, thou fool, this night thy soul will be required of thee. Then whose are all those things going to be that you have? He says, I am ready. And then he says, the time of my departure is at hand in the second part of this verse. See, sometimes if a person is right with God, I believe God lets them know. You say, well, is that so? I just read you what David said. He said, I'm going the way of all the earth. Joshua said, I'm going the way of all the earth. If you go through and you study, a couple of weeks ago we preached about Elijah and Elisha. Elijah was going out and told Elisha, you stay here. And the people would come out and speak to Elisha. Don't you know that today God is going to take away your master? And he said, I know, hold your peace. And he walked on a little farther and he said, Elisha, you stay here. And he said, I'm going to go with you all the way. Because Elijah knew that he was going to be called up that day. And Elisha also knew that he was going to be called up that day. Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. He knew that it was time. Now, folks, I remember when my dad was sick. My dad passed away at 58 years old. And I can remember spending time with him, and I can remember something that he told my daughter and my wife and I when he was getting very sick. He said, you know, it's going to come a time, and I know that time is near, that I'm going to lie down and I won't get up. He said, you'll see me not put my pants on anymore, but I'll stay in my pajamas. And he said, I'll go to the doctor for my last time, but my dad was a Christian. My dad was saved. My dad was right with God. And I can remember the last time that I helped him stand up. I was in the bedroom that he was in, and I was behind him holding him up so that he could use the bathroom. And as I stood behind him and I was holding him up, my dad's a man of God. He had the Spirit of God on him. He looked over his shoulder at me, and he said, son, do you have anything on your heart? You know what the question was? Has God give you the message for my funeral? You know what I said? And this is true. I said, yes, Dad, I do. You know why? Because he knew and I knew. But you know what the great thing about it is? I can stand here before you today and say, my dad is in heaven, and something else, I'm going to see him again. Amen. Amen. Why? Because he was ready to go and I'm ready to go. When my dad passed away, over in the corner of the room that he stayed in, he had a can because he couldn't go to church like he wanted to. You know, a lot of people, they don't want to come to church. My dad would go sit in a chair while they was at church working just so he could be there with them and work with them. And I looked over there in the corner of the room, there was a little tin can. And every week he would have a little note and he'd write it down. And in the can it said, the Lord's money. It was what belonged to God that he had put aside, even though he couldn't come to the house of the Lord. And you know, folks, when you've got roots like that, this is what Paul is trying to get Timothy to understand. Live your life to the fullest, live it for God, and be ready to go when God calls. Amen. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. He knew that it was his time. And then he says, I've fought a good fight. You know, I got up this morning, I got here and I spoke to a couple of the brothers. I said, you know, God's going to do something this morning because it's been too much of a fight. Y'all know what I'm talking about? When you start trying to serve God, you say sometimes, well, if I serve the Lord, I expect everything to be good all the time. I want to tell you, if you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to have a fight because the enemy does not like it. He said, I fought a good fight. And sometimes it is a fight because we are in a war. We are in a spiritual war. It's a fight sometimes because the enemy wants to stop you. And unfortunately, sometimes the enemy gets in people that are supposed to be the closest to you. And you have to keep charging on. You see, I got a little saying written down here. Troubles come, Troubles hurt. Still standing. And that's what Paul's saying. He said, I fought a good fight. I've had my troubles. I've had my hurts. But I'm still standing. I've come to the end and I've not quit. I've come to the end and I've not give up. I've come to the end and I still believe in what I've preached. He said in one place, he said, I believe that he is faithful to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He said, I fought a good fight. Then he said, I finished my course. Now think about that for just a minute. You know, when I think about this life, I don't know how much time God's going to give me, but I want to finish my course. You see, I've come to the point in my life that here's what I want. I want to do whatever it is that God has for me to do. You know, I'm ready to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go today. He said, I finished my course. If you know you fulfill the work that God... And here's, think about this for just a minute. Have you finished your course? Are there things that God wants you to do or things you need to do for God that you haven't done, that it's time for you to get busy doing them because you don't know how much time you're going to have on this earth? You don't know how much more time you're going to have to do the things of God. Let's finish our course. As I heard a man say, he was a choir director at a big church, and he said, I've spent my whole life serving God. He said, but I'm concerned, I'm fearful, because I want to finish strong. I don't want to live my life and get to the end and lose my testimony. He said, I finished my course. It's like this. I have fulfilled the work that God has had for me to do. It's like this. I have been faithful to my calling. I was standing around a campfire Friday night talking to a preacher. I think Brother Tom is about 72 years old and, you know, pastors of church I used to pastor down in Austell, and we were talking, and he said, you know, he said, there's still so much to do. He said, but it's getting harder for me to do it. He said, you know, we'd like to get to the point that my wife can retire so we can just do nothing but do the work for the Lord together. He said, you know, but until you God calls you out of this life, I want to tell you something. We can go through life adding houses and adding lands and adding more boats and adding more cars and adding more things and more stuff. But when we get to the end, it's all going to vanish away. Amen. But the things you do for God, they'll last. Every person that I get saved, it'll last. Every person that I see saved, it'll last. Every person that I'm able to help, it'll last. Every person that you see in trouble and you reach out to them and you try to do something to help them, folks, that's going to last. As I was talking to Brother Tommy, he said, you know, sometimes God gives me things to do that I don't like doing. But I have to be faithful to my calling. You know that if you look through the scripture and you read about Paul's life, you'll find that he did fight a fight. There were adversaries, and there were times that he had to stand no matter what. He just had to stand. But he was faithful. This is something we need to understand and you need to understand. Be faithful to God. God first. He said, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. It's like I've lived through my whole life and I still believe. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. I think it was on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. You know, there are times that I'll hear from some of my family members and I hadn't heard from them in months and even years. But they'll call. It's an emergency. There's somebody that needs help. There's a death in the family, or there's somebody in the hospital, or there's somebody that might want to get married. And you know when they call and I pick up the phone, they don't ask me if I'm still in church. They don't say, oh, by the way, we need somebody that can pray, but are you still in the faith? They don't say, by the way, we need, you know, somebody that can perform a wedding, but are you still serving God? They don't say, we need somebody that can come to the hospital, but are you still doing that? Paul said, I have kept the faith. And when he started in it, he stayed in it because it was in him. And when it gets in you and it's inside of you and it's boiling out of you, it'll be there in the end. You see, there's three places of my faith. There's faith to save me. And we like that kind of faith. I like saving faith, and I believe that you must have faith to be saved. And there's saving faith. Then there's faith to live by. You know you can have faith to live by? There's nothing that I do in this life that I don't need God to be in it and be a part of it. See, here's the point. Anything that you do by yourself is going to be messed up. I can remember one time I was working at a glass company up in Dallas or Douglasville, and I was probably about 19 or 20 years old, and there was guys there. And you know, working in construction, when you're a Christian, I have experience, okay? I know what it's like to be surrounded by vultures, seemingly, okay? And they're picking on you and poking at you and trying to get you to say or do something that they can say, see that, heard that? And he would say something to me, and this was kind of the response that I would give. But this is what I heard my dad say all my life. And he'd say something, and I said, well, if the Lord's will. If the Lord's will. Kind of like, you know, some of you ask me, are you going hunting this week? Well, if the Lord willing. It's kind of just the same. Lord willing. You going to be here tonight? Lord willing. And I said that, and he just said, wow. He said, can't you leave the Lord out of anything? And I looked at him and I said, well, how can you leave the Lord out of anything and really expect it to prosper? Now think about that. And when I said that to him, and he just looked at me, but he didn't know the Lord. But you know, you have saving faith, but you have faith to live by. And you live your life for the honor and glory of God, knowing that every day that you have is a privilege. But folks, we need to have faith to die by. You need to have faith to die by, because guess what? Unless Jesus Christ comes back, you're going to die. Just like David, just like Joshua, you are going to go the way of all the earth. There's only a couple of people that really didn't die, and the Lord came and got them. You can find them in the Old Testament. And the only way that you're not going to die is if the Lord comes for His church and you're saved. And He raptures you out. Then the scripture says we will be changed in the moment and the twinkling of an eye. Talking about all this stuff out in space, this celestial body that's moving towards us. And they talk about how it's affecting the navigation of planes and how it's affecting cell phones and all these things. And it's the unknown, and people are afraid of the unknown. I want to tell you something that'll cause you not to be afraid. Get saved by the grace of God and know that God is in control, and does the lightning shineth out of the east unto the west, so shall it be in the coming of the Lord. And I'm not afraid, because when He comes, I am ready and I'm going to be with Him, because I have faith to die by. And then what He says, He said, henceforth, because of these things, because He said, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now, when you stop and think about that just for a minute, you go through the Word of God and you find five crowns in the Bible. There's the crown of life that's mentioned in James 1:12. There's the incorruptible crown in 1 Corinthians 9:25. There's the crown in 2 Thessalonians 2:19. The crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy 4:8. The crown of glory in 1 Peter 5:2-4. And here's what He's saying. He said, I've served Him and He is going toward me. You know, a lot of times people get their reward here. They want their reward here. They want you to praise them here. They want you to pat them on the back here. They want you to give them glory here, the glory that really belongs to God. But the Scripture teaches us, if we want to have rewards in heaven, we need to be faithful here over a few things, and He'll give us a victory over many things over there. He said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Then it says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Now think about this. God Himself will reward me. You know, when we see Him, what are we going to do? You know, I've heard a lot of different songs about it, and there's one that the Crab family sings. And this is some of the words out of the song. It says, when the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, every battle that I've fought will fade from memory. I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees when the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me. You know, I've heard people say, well, there ain't going to be no preaching in heaven. I'll tell you what make a preacher want to preach is getting close to the Holy Spirit. You know, there's different kind of preaching. You can preach in rejoicing. I believe there's going to be some shouting going on. I believe there's going to be some praising going on. Then you got that other song. He said, I bowed on my knees and cried, holy. Holy, holy. And we begin to praise God. And you know, you go over and read in the book of Revelation where the 24 elders said they took their crowns and they cast them before His feet. Because every reward, all the glory, it belongs to God. Everything belongs to Him. You know, it's a great day. A great day that's coming. It's a great day that's coming for us as Christians because we're saved by the grace of God. It's a great day when I stand before the Lord. It's going to be a great day if the Lord comes back. And folks, He could. I can't predict the time, but I mean, if you study the Scripture, He's getting things lined up for leaving, for the meeting in the air. Okay, we're seeing times, and I know, you know, if you just stop and think about it, young people, 100 years ago, it wasn't like it was today. For thousands of years in this country and in this world, people went about riding camels and mules, and they didn't have all the electronics and the technology that we have today. The book of Daniel says in those days that many shall run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. Overwhelmingly. You know, they can't get a new phone out till already, as soon as you pay $300 or $400 for it. The technology is outdated. But you know what the Scripture says? It says in those days they'd be ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, the kind of preaching that I'm doing this morning, the kind of presentation that I'm giving you, it's not popular in the world. Because you got atheists and you got people that are offering their opinions, and rather listening to the Word of God, rather than listening to the preacher, people are listening to the world. They're listening to somebody like Bill Mayer and what he has to say when he mocks the church and the people of God. They're listening to the people that are atheists. And you know, I don't know what it is about it, but what makes a person, because they make a movie, an authority? What makes them a hero? They're not heroes in my eyes. I heard a story this week about a man. His name was Ryan. That had went and he had talked about how he had fought and how he had defended a position in battle and how he had saved men's lives. And the man was presenting and talking about him. He said, this is a real hero. But see, truth's distorted in this country and in this nation today. Because rather than listening to the truth of the Word of God, people are paying attention to what somebody that really has no authority at all will say. But folks, when the great day comes, here's what the Bible says. It says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And there's not one of them in Hollywood that's going to be bold enough to say, well, I'm not afraid. You know what it says in Revelation? It says they're going to run and they're going to hide and they're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the face of God. See, I believe the Bible. I believe what Paul's saying here is true. I believe Paul, when he said it was caught up to the third heaven, he saw it. And when he saw it, do you know that this is not written in the Word of God? This is extra biblical, but this is what history teaches. That when they took Paul up out of the Lamartine prison and they took him to the chop block to cut his head off, persecution, they said he ran. He ran to the chop block. He said, I want to go home. Say, I'm going to heaven. And I believe everything that God has, I'm going to be, here's what I believe, I'm going to be satisfied. I was talking to somebody this week and I said, you know, I'm one of those people, it don't take a whole lot to satisfy me. I'm simple. But that's because I got peace with God. And here's something else I want you to understand, folks. Because I'm a Christian, because I'm saved, I have never, ever, ever felt alone. Because everywhere I go, I talk to God. A great day. And a great reward. You see, I want to hear my Savior say, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. That's why, like Paul, he said, after I've preached to others, he said, I keep a watch over my body lest after I've preached to others, I myself would become a castaway. So I do pay attention. And I do watch. And I try to get ready for departure. Now think about this for just a minute. In this particular departure, everybody's been invited. Now, I want to tell you something this morning about how I believe. I believe everybody can be saved. Amen. And I believe God wants to save everybody. Okay? And the calls went out. Jesus Christ is coming to the world. And the most known scripture, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God wants to save everybody, but you got to have a ticket. You got to get your ticket. As I've heard preachers say in the past, they said, I've made my peace, sure, with God. Ready to go. Prayed up, packed up, ready to go. So you need a ticket. Because the call is going to come to get on board. And the call might come for me, the call might come for you. But the truth is, the Lord could come back, I don't know. But it's very likely that if we're here a year from now, not everybody in this building is going to be here. It's very likely that somebody's gone out to be with the Lord. See, the call's going to come to get on board. But here's something I want you to understand. There's going to come a day when the Lord will say, last call. Last call. You see, I believe in order for a person to get saved, God's got to be knocking on your heart. Holy Spirit's dealing with you and God's calling you. And that's why I think it's so important that when we're in the house of the Lord that we pay attention and we pray. And we are listening to what the Spirit of God says, because the time that God's dealing with you is the time that you need to move. That's why it's so important. You know, you're in a great service and God is doing something and God is stirring, and people say, well, I'll just wait. I'll wait till next time. One day He's going to say, last call. And then the door is closed. You know, I've been on planes and they close the door. And they walk through the plane and they're counting seats and they're looking at the roll and they say, well, we have one empty here. We have one empty here, but we kept the door open as long as we could. You see, I believe that what's kept this earth intact, what's keeping the United States from being in worse shape than it is the prayers of the saints. If you study the scripture, it says that it is the long-suffering of our Lord that's kept us here. Because there's somebody else needs to be saved. There's somebody else that needs to get on board. Paul said, I'm ready. I'm ready. I want to ask you as they get ready to sing, are you ready this morning? I'm ready. I'm ready to meet the Lord. If God calls me today, I'm ready to go. You know, I don't know. I'm like Paul. I don't know that I've done everything that I want to do. I don't know if I can say I've finished my course. But God's going to decide that, not you. God might decide it's time for you to come. And it's no age, no respecter of persons with age. And you can't add, as the scripture says, one cubit to your stature. When God calls, you're going to leave. I ask you to stand to your feet as they sing. If God spoke to you, this is an invitation to come and make everything right with the Lord. So that you can say, like Paul said, he said, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. If you're not at peace with God, now's the time to be at peace with God. Amen? This is your invitation to come.
In my childhood, when we traveled,
so gently he'd say, my child, we're going home. Going home, I'm going home. There's nothing to hold.
I thought I was invincible. I did. I realize now I'm not. But you know, the older you get, and I've heard preachers say this, they get to thinking about heaven. And I've heard people say, I've got more on that side than I've got on this side.
Amen.
You know, when you live through your life and you've lived your life for the Lord, sometimes you get to that point. You start looking at all that have gone on before you and all that are out there waiting on you and all those that have lived their life for God before you. And you end up looking over there. I know people that they sing this song, and praise God, I like that song, and they really think that folks is serious. They're thinking about it. Paul said, I want to go and be with the Lord. I'm going home. You know, if you're here this morning and you don't know that, and you say, well, I just don't know if I believe all that. Well, folks, you got to believe something. Where'd you come from? Why are you on this earth? Folks, I just want you to know, I didn't come from no monkey. Y'all, it's funny. It's funny, but people hold on to it. They hold on to it. I'm saved by the grace of God, created by God in the image of God for the purpose of God. Didn't come from no monkey. Going to go to heaven, get a brand new body, one likened to Christ. Going to see those that have gone on before me, my loved ones, and I'm going to be able to rejoice around the throne. And there are things the Bible says that are waiting on us that it's unlawful even to speak of. You know what that means? We don't even have words to describe it. I want you to sing just that first verse again. We have people still praying, and we want to give people opportunity to pray. And if God spoke to your heart this morning, we want you to know there's nothing I'd like better than, you know, everybody that leaves this morning, say, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm ready to go and be with the Lord. Amen.
Many times in my childhood, when we traveled so far, by nightfall, how weary I'd grow. Father's arms would slip round me, so gently he'd say, my child, we're going home. Going home, I'm going home. There's nothing to hold.
Good to be in the house of the Lord, and I just spoke with Nicole, and Nicole just told me that she asked the Lord to come into her heart this morning. Amen. Let's give her a big hand, amen. 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 Thank you for the good singing. There's one more thing we want to do this morning. We have a group getting ready to go to Guatemala on a missions trip, and they're going to be gone for about 7 days. And some of the family is already ready for them to come home, just like you'd be. We want to get Melanie and Avery and Savannah to come up. And we want their families to come up. And we're going to have a special prayer over them, that God will protect them and watch out for them. We'll stand over here so we'll have enough room. Brother Bruce, would you come over and, you know, ask the deacon fellowship, if you would, to come up and join us. We want to put our hands on, lay our hands on them and pray and ask God to watch over them and take care of them, protect them. They're going to Guatemala, and they're going with a good group. They're going with Brother Jared's brother, and I know that he'll take care of them. But we're going to keep praying for them. What I want to do, Brother Bruce, if you'd pray first, then Brother Tommy, Bruce, if you'd pray second, then I'll close. Let's pray for them right now, okay?
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, God. These three here before us, going to do your work in the mission field, Father. We know that you're there before them. Your hand's going to be upon them and guide them every step of the way, Lord. They've stepped out of the boat and been faithful to go and serve you in a foreign land. And we know that you're going to protect these people, Lord. We just pray for Avery and Savannah and Miss Melanie, Lord God, that you just be with them every step of the way and just bring them back to us safely, Lord God, and have it make an impact on our lives as a church so that some of us may not be hesitant or afraid to step out of the boat and serve you. God, we just thank you that you've given these ladies this opportunity to do this. Yeah. And we know, Father God, that it's your will. This is going to make an impact on their life and all of our lives to come. And we pray for them as they take this journey for you.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to be with this group, God. Lord, you already know what's going to happen when they get there. I pray.
Dear Lord, we thank you so much for these that have come forward, Lord, willing to go and serve. God, we pray that you would put a special hedge of protection around them. Lord, be with them, and Lord, be with their families while they're gone. God, help them as they go over here, Lord, that as they minister, Lord, that they'd have fruits for their labor. But God, we know that you're also going to grow them. Lord, it is a privilege, Lord, to be able to go and do your work, and Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you do in our hearts, oh Lord. When we're trying to serve you, and sometimes we're trying to minister to others, but we're the ones that really get ministered to. Lord, I pray you'd bless them. Lord, I pray you'd comfort them. Lord, I pray you'd help them in every situation. And Lord, we're going to give you the glory. We're going to claim it. We're going to praise you. We're going to lift you up. We're going to, knowing that you hear everything that we pray into you and cry into you, God, you hear us and you want to help us. And we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Could you just sing one verse, Amazing Grace or anything? I want to open the doors of the church. If you're here this morning, you're saved by the grace of God. We'd like to have you join with us if you'd like to join with us. God is doing things here. We're excited about what God's doing, and we just want to give you an invitation if you want to be a part of this body. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Appreciate everybody being with us this morning in the house of the Lord. Brother Perry, would you dismiss us in prayer?